I find it's, in my own life, it's the people who have the least who teach me about generosity in a way that humbles me and makes me want to be less selfish and more generous. I'm thinking a lot about that. I'd wonder if you're thinking about that too, what it means to live a generous life. Round about Christmas time, we say to each other, have a good Christmas, have a good Christmas, have a good Christmas. What does it mean to have a good Christmas? That's what I want us to look at over this month. I think it means to have a generous Christmas, to have a comforting Christmas, a peaceful Christmas, an enlightening Christmas, that changes will come because we will discover what Christmas is all about. And today, looking at a generous Christmas, this verse from a letter that was written to a group of Christians that had a lot. They were quite wealthy compared to some other Christians. And the Apostle Paul was taking a collection for the poorest people who were experiencing famine and difficulties in Jerusalem. And it was the poorest Christians who were giving the most. He said, out of their great poverty overflowed a rich generosity. And he said to the rich Christians, he said, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? That though he was the richest, he became the poorest for your sake, so that through his poverty you may become rich. That's not really just about material things. It's much deeper. And as we look at the letter that he wrote to the church in Philippi, he unpacked that a bit more. He said to the Christians in that church, he said, in your relationship with one another, you must have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who did not consider his own interests but the interests of others. Mindset. In this letter to the Philippians, and even in the reading this morning, the word mind appears so many times. In verse 2, it appears twice. In your thinking, become like Jesus Christ. And so often, isn't it, that we have decisions that we make. We make decisions without even thinking, don't we? And other times we make decisions after lots of careful thought and reflection. Some of us are very impulsive and others are more reflective and considered. But one of the most important decisions I ever made in my life was a very, very impulsive decision. In fact, I would say it's probably the most impulsive decision I ever made in my life. I made it in about 1 second, and it turned out to be a fantastic decision. You see, I was living on this street, and there was this girl that was living across the road, and I didn't know her very well, but I kind of hoped that I might one day, and she knew friends that we knew, and they invited me to a party. And they said, the girl across the road is also going to the same party. Maybe you'd like to give her a lift. And so I knocked on the door, said, do you want a lift? And I took her to this party. And it wasn't a party, it was a meal for four. We were set up. And as we were driving home, literally we lived across the road from each other, she went into her house and I went into my house. And as I closed the door behind me, I thought, I'm going to ask her out. And so I looked at the floor, and there was all these male shots on the floor, and I saw one for the Theatre Royal. And without thinking, I just picked it up, and I marched across the road, and I knocked on the door, and she was really shocked to see me again. And I said, would you like to go to the theatre? And she said, okay then, what are we going to see? And I hadn't even looked at and I looked down, and it was Scrooge. We went to see A Christmas Carol, and the rest is history, as it were. But this great sort of Christmas film that we're going to see many, many times, perhaps again and again and again, it's about a man who was such a penny-pinching miser, who was transformed and became a really generous person. His mindset was changed. Now, the method by which he was changed is not a method that I'm recommending this morning, that we have three ghosts that visit us over the month of December. But it does raise the question, can we change from being really selfish into being really generous? And Charles Dickens would say, yes, you can. This week, as I was watching the news, I saw this amazing story of generosity, and I'd like you to watch it on the video now.
Oh, I'm so pleased to meet you at long last.
When Kabul collapsed, we were just left behind in a dark room.
How are you and all the family doing?
Everyone is okay, and now we are in safety.
Afghan refugees coming in from Kabul on the army plane, and the story of the Vaisal family. And my mother had been a refugee during the Second World War and fled from her home. And she only survived through the kindness of people along the way. And I just felt I had to do something and give back something for the kindness and the humanity that helped my mother and her family survive.
And in the world, you can find a generous woman, a generous people to help you when you are in a dark side. And they come and put a light into your room.
Sepa, how do you feel about going to Aberdeen?
Good.
What are you excited about?
Something about toys.
Come on then. This is your house. This is your new house. Come on in. Come on in. Look in there. What do you see? The toys. And you make it the way you want it. You change anything, you make it the way you want it.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you. Really thanks. Your generosity and your kind heart will be never forgotten. No words to express it, but still we have good humans inside this world. And you are an example.
Thank you so much. You're part of our family now.
Thank you so much.
And you're so welcome.
Great to have a local story as well from Aberdeen. And it also makes me think about the CAP hampers that are going out over this month and the families that will have that reaction, the same reaction that we saw there, or the shoe boxes that will be opened in Eastern Europe. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your participation in these projects. And there are other ways that God will inspire us over this month to be generous, to be less selfish. I'm speaking about myself, by the way. You're probably really generous. But let's look at where our motivation can come from. The apostle, which means the church leader, the one who was traveling around telling people that Jesus had come back from the dead, he was the Lord of all. His name was Paul, the apostle Paul, and he said, "You know the grace." But do we? Do we really know grace? Do we know this love which is sacrificial, which is given expecting nothing in return? Do we really know it? I've been speaking about this grace for years, and yet when someone does something for me which is so generous, it takes my breath away. I find myself wanting to repay them, and yet knowing that I can't repay them, and learning to be able to just receive their generosity, receive their love. And when it's done in a demonstration of love, it's easy to talk about love, but to show that you love someone, to show that you care, and if someone shows us that they care, we find ourselves speechless. I remember telling, I won't tell you the example, but a great answer to provision was given at some point in our lives, and I was just going, "I can't believe it, I just can't believe it, I just can't believe it." And my friend said, "Alistair, you've been preaching about the grace and kindness of God for so many years, and now you've experienced it. Now you'll preach it better." And it's when we experience generosity towards us, we become generous people. In my previous church, there was this lady, and she was the most generous lady in the church. She opened her home to everybody. Maybe not everybody, that's an exaggeration, but she seemed to be so giving. She was so giving to us. You know, when we arrived in that town, she gave us a car for a month and said, just take it. She helped us. And I sat her down one day and I said, "What's your story? I want to understand why you're so generous." And she said, "My husband was abusive, left us destitute. We were in this grotty house with damp dripping off the walls. And one of the leaders of this church knocked on our door, said, 'We're going to get you out of here.' Took them, the family, put them in a better place. Took them to church. Whenever they wanted to go on a church weekend, they had no money. Somebody would have put money in an envelope for them so that they could go. And over the years, she experienced such a healing, such a transformation through the kindness of others that she became that generous person as well." And this is what Paul is saying in this letter. He's saying, look at Jesus Christ, who is the greatest example of generous giving. He was the richest who became the poorest, that we may become rich and may know him and know the meaning of life. For you know the grace. Do you know the grace this morning? Do you know that this person that wants to know you has so much to give you. So much to give you. If only you will trust him and receive. Who was he? Who was Jesus of Nazareth? It says here that he was in very nature God. And yet, he did not hold on to his status, but he gave away his status, his position, his power. He became a person of no status. He became a person of no power in order to help me and to help you. He made himself nothing. That can also be translated, he emptied himself. He emptied himself of all but love. And he bled and died for all of humanity. Next slide, please. Oh. Just keep moving it on, one at a time, and I'll get there. Thank you. He made the nature of a servant. Thank you. So, God contracted to a span. Incomprehensible. God made man. God didn't need to do it, but God became a human being that we would know him. That if I had Struan here this morning, again up on stage, I know that he's probably really comfortable through in the crash, so I won't bring him through, but just imagine for a moment Struan's here and he's in his car child seat and I'm trying to have a relationship with Struan, but I'm this big, tall guy. He's going, who are you? You were the guy that was holding me a few minutes ago. And then I get right down to his level and I look him in the eye and I can then have a relationship with him. That's what we do with children, isn't it? And that's what God did with us. He got down to our level so that we could see him. And that's what the life of Jesus is all about. That is why God became a human being, so that we could see him and see what God is like. And we saw someone who was always considering the needs of others before his own needs. It says that sometimes he had nowhere to lay his head. Sometimes he was not able to get much sleep because he was helping people late into the night and late into the morning. Sometimes there was no time to eat. He was tireless. And yet, he did miracles, and he brought people back from the dead, and he healed people, and he taught like no one had ever taught before. And people said, who is this man? And it's God in human flesh. Next slide, please. He humbled himself. You see, to humble yourself, you have to be really important in the sense that you have to have something to give away. He came to humble yourself is to go from a height to a depth. Someone that's humble. I heard a story this week about this man who was on a bus in Chicago, and the teenagers on the bus were giving him a really hard time, kind of egging him on, saying, when we get to the bus stop, we're going to get you. And he just sat there, this man, and he didn't respond. And then when it came to the bus stop, he got up, and he was a lot taller than they thought he was. And as he was walking past, he gave them his business card, and it said, Joe Lewis, heavyweight champion of the world. And he humbled himself. He could have caused him serious damage. But he decided to restrain himself. When Jesus was hung on that cross, he could have obliterated all his enemies with just one word. He decided instead to forgive them. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." This is the God we're talking about. He's a humble, humble, humble Jesus. Next slide. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why would he die on a cross? Because God wants to know us, but it is our selfishness which separates us from him, our sin. And some people may say, well, does it really matter how we live? It matters so much that Jesus had to bleed and to die in order to make us holy, that we could live eternally with him. He who was perfect, he who never sinned, went to the cross and died in our place and took our punishment. He who had committed no crime was humiliated like a criminal, who was insulted. The one who had the greatest honor was dishonored beyond belief. This is our God. This is your God if you choose to recognize him as such. Next slide, please. And the way to recognize him is to know this grace that he went willingly. It was a choice. It was his mindset. Jesus' mindset was to choose to humble himself. Jesus' mindset was to choose to become a servant. It was to choose to do the thing which would save us rather than save himself. It was a choice. And it wasn't an easy choice. At one point, he said, "If there's any other way, can I do it?" And in prayer, the Father said, "No, this is the only way." And he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And what is God saying to you today? To do in order that you may please God. Not my will, but yours be done. And he gives us more grace. If we're willing to humble ourselves, if we're willing to have an accurate understanding of who we are today, the only way to understand who you truly are, the only way to find yourself is to find God. The more you look at God, the more you'll understand yourself. And as you look at this God that we're talking about this morning, the only true God, you will know that you are loved. You will know that you have someone that is rooting for you and who wants a great plan for your life. But he loves you too much to leave you where you are today. He says, come just as you are, but don't expect to stay as you are, because I want you to become like Jesus, my son. Who did not consider his status, who did not consider his position, but took a form of a man and became a servant to all. We sang the song earlier, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Is it sweet in your ears this morning? Or is it like one of these words that you don't yet understand? It means a love which will take your breath away. A love which is not just words, but is love demonstrated in commitment, in blood in the ultimate sacrifice. And if someone loves you that much, they're never going to let you go. No matter how much you want to run away, he will never let you go. Because he went to the cross for you. Do you know the grace? The one that can make you rich. Do you want to get rich? I go onto YouTube looking for stories like the BBC, and the first thing that happens is an advert comes up, and this guy goes, "Right, I'm going to make you rich, Alistair." And the next 5 seconds, I'm trying to click the advert away. But isn't everyone trying to make us rich? He says, "Really easy. This is how you're going to get rich. Just listen to me." But this is completely different. This is saying, redefine the word rich. And to be rich is to know God. Because to know God is to be secure. To know God is to have wisdom on tap 24/7. To know God is to have strength when you're weak, multiplied strength when you're weak. To know God is to know the slate wiped clean on the days when you mess up, when you say the wrong thing, when you do the wrong thing. Rich. And the Apostle Paul said, "I have this great CV. Do you want to see my CV? I've got the best education. I come from the best family. Are you ready to listen? I've got the best CV. But all of it is rubbish compared to what I have now, which is knowing Jesus Christ. I consider it all rubbish compared to the surpassing joy of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord, the one who loved me so much that he chose to come and save me and went to the lowest place, and now he's at the highest place, and he's in charge of all the universe, and I know him as my friend. Is there anything better?" He says, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. But it doesn't matter. I'm content. I can do all things through this Jesus who strengthens me. I'm rich. Do you want to get rich? Do you want to have rich relationships? Relationships infused with grace and forgiveness and kindness, then Jesus shows us the way. I want to know this Jesus more. I told you before, I'm a selfish guy. But God is speaking to me. I pray for you, if you pray for me, that God will transform us as we keep looking to Jesus. Shall we do that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are everything we need. And sometimes we think that we need to climb to the top of Mount Everest. We need to jump over 100 hurdles so that you will pay attention to us and that you will help us. But I thank you for the truth that you thought of us before we thought of you. That while we were in rebellion, you died for us. Jesus, I thank you that you show us the way. And I pray that through our time together today, that we will leave this place knowing that you are ready to forgive us. Lord, our mindset is often selfish. Would you change our mindset? Our mindset is not to trust you, not to believe in you. Would you change our mindset? Would you turn us around? And would you forgive us? And would you put us on the path which leads to life? And would you walk with us on that path and take our hand through this month and all that we are facing in our lives together. So we ask again for your grace, your love to be poured into our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.